You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. UC Berkeley's Graduate School of Journalism has new leadership. Geeta Anand is the new interim dean, the first woman to be in that position. Anand comes after the resignation of Ed Wasserman, who was dean for 7 years. And she comes in the midst of a major shakeup over diversity at the school. Recently, the school's chapter of the National Association of Black Journalists voiced concerns about what it sees as the school's lack of diversity and poor handling of racial inequality issues. Chapter members drafted 17 action items for the school to work on, and 5 working groups are taking them on. What's happening at Berkeley reflects a broader conversation around the lack of diversity in journalism schools and newsrooms. I talked to Interim Dean Anand to ask what the working groups are doing. And a quick note of disclosure, KALW does partner with the school to air stories reported by its students.
I should say that our students have been activists for a very long time. They've pressed us for many years to be more equitable, to be more diverse, to be more inclusive. So this has been a process where that the school has been engaged in. But George Floyd's death and the protests around the country and the whole focus on systemic anti-Black racism and the imperative that the whole country now sees to make the changes that are needed to address centuries of racism. That whole momentum has rightfully led our students to demand much more of our school now. The National Association of Black Journalists, the NABJ chapter at Berkeley, has made some specific demands of us, of the journalism school, that we diversify, that we have a much more transparent processes, that we support our Black students more. And specific Black students have been reaching out, describing the pain they experienced going through the journalism school and the microaggressions, the lack of support they felt, and pointing to the lack of diversity and urging us and demanding that we respond in a substantive way. And so what's been happening is that the Senate faculty, and I'm part of that, invited the lecturers and the faculty at the school and the staff to volunteer to be part of one of 5 working groups that are engaged in responding substantively to the NABJ action items with specific long-term, short-term, and medium-term plans to address them as a first step.
What are these working groups looking at?
They're looking at things like diversifying the student body, diversifying the faculty. They're looking at external facing activities, how we can be more supportive and reflective of the diversity of the country in just the events we have at the school, the speakers we invite. They're looking at support for students, like financial aid and support for students to make sure that the Black students we recruit here and other students, other first generation students that can afford to actually come and live in the Bay Area. So we're casting a wide, wide net and looking very, very broadly at the underlying issues that are sort of part of the NABJ demands, but that also underlie them.
Right. What is the makeup of the student body in terms of students of color? Do they tend to go into journalism schools? I know one thing I do a lot in my community, I'm from Sudan and I talk to African communities as well, other communities from around the continent who feel, you know, media narratives about us, about Africa overall, are just so poor. So I talk to people about journalism and entering journalism schools to create your own narrative. But one of the things I hear back is, you know, either I can't afford it or we don't see a lot of people of color in media overall, so I'm not sure I'll find a job. They say to me, We feel it's an unsafe time to be a journalist. And so, you know, what's the makeup of the student body and what can be done to attract more young people of color into journalism in these times?
I mean, our student body is quite diverse, but journalism is not diverse. Because students from underprivileged backgrounds cannot afford to be journalists for the most part. It's really, really difficult to conceive of spending the money to go to journalism school, working a fewer hours so you can go to journalism school, and then conceiving of a way of paying back the money in those early years and for any loans you've taken in entry-level jobs, which, as you know, don't pay very well in journalism. So we lose a lot of students to other professions in those early years. What I think should be done is we have to raise money, and we are raising money immediately, to fund more scholarships for Black students and other people of color and people from underprivileged backgrounds. And we also have to lower the cost of tuition at the journalism school in general, because it's out of sync with the entry-level salaries in journalism. That would make it, you know, much more, that would just open up journalism to just more diversity. And then, of course, we should have a more diverse faculty. That will make a huge, huge difference, because it's so important to see yourself reflected in some of the instructors around you. But I think the finances and the economics are a really big part of it.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think a journalism school's role is in the broader media industry and in creating a diverse media landscape? So people come in to the school, they graduate. What kinds of collaborations or partnerships can happen to make sure your graduates go out into the world and find work in media?
I think it's really important for journalism schools to offer an apprenticeship model. I think it's really important to teach, but also to work alongside your students in a collaborative way, enabling them to publish. And that's what I'm really hoping we will do more of in the journalism school in the years ahead. We have that as a model. The investigative reporting program has for years had students involved in projects. But I think that we really should expand that. And we did expand that this past spring, where we pivoted as a school and turned ourselves into a newsroom covering COVID. 20 instructors were team leaders in that effort. 80 students participated. 38 of them or so have been published in the New York Times, 19 of them students of color. Another 36 were published in a wide variety of other publications, from KQED to the LA Times to the Desert Sun, more than half of those students of color. So I think publishing and creating opportunities for students to learn and to be published while they're in school is critical.
You know, when a news organization has no people of color, or the country's newsrooms have these abysmal numbers of journalists of color, one thing they say that I've heard is, well, where are they? Well, we can't find them. I've heard that from some leaders of some newsrooms. And that's when one thinks, well, is this about the pipeline or too few people of color entering journalism schools? This question of the pipeline, what do you think about that?
I mean, I think it's a chicken and egg thing, too. So I think that publications are, that just is not excuse enough that you can't find them. I think you just have to look further away. You have to maybe change your criterion for accepting applications. You have to just look in historically disenfranchised communities and in schools that serve them, in community colleges that serve them. So you have to look further. But I also agree that it's a pipeline issue. And I think it's a partly that because it's just so economically difficult to become a journalist. It just, for people who actually get an education who are from disenfranchised communities, if you get that education and you have large families to support who need you to earn the best income you can. So it's really difficult then to consider an entry-level job in journalism at that salary, because you're often trying to uplift like several generations on your shoulders.
Mm. And so you're saying you're creating more scholarships to kind of solve that.
I mean, we have to do the same thing, right? We have to reach out to places that we need to go out to colleges that educate more Black students and recruit there. So we have to improve our pipeline. We have to make it much more affordable through scholarships, through reduced tuition. I mean, like not just a few scholarships. We have to like massively change the cost of journalism, of education. That will help. And then if we diversify, that will help a lot because people will see themselves reflected in the faculty. I think Black people and people of color are very interested in having a voice. I mean, they have every reason, we have every reason to want to have a voice. It's simply enabling us and them to see that it's possible to do it. There are many ways. I mean, we're planning to, we have an introductory course called J200, which is the Introduction to Reporting. And one of the classes covers the city of Richmond. Richmond has a huge Black community. We as a journalism school need to try and, in the communities around us, establish a pipeline. So we plan to take several students from Richmond High as interns for the class. I mean, this is an idea from my students. So we plan to reach out and try to create a pipeline that way. So we have to be creative in establishing pipelines in the communities around us. So we have to take a multifaceted approach.
It feels like this kind of work, you know, it's like a deep dismantling kind of work that takes time. Is there a timeline, especially when you talk about changing the cost of journalism? That's an interesting discussion. But when you accepted this position, what is it that you wanted to kind of see almost right away happen?
I think we can raise money really quickly. Because I think that there are people out there who care deeply about having a diversity of voices covering the most important issues of our times. Democracy is under threat. Journalism is under threat. I think it's really a matter of reaching out with passion and a big plan to people who care and showing them that we mean business. I think we can just begin raising substantial amounts of money for scholarships right away. I think that changing how much tuition costs and raising like a giant larger endowment will take time. But I think that's very possible in the next several years. Focusing on community journalism, establishing pipelines to the schools around us to encourage high school students and communities of color to become journalists, that's something we can do right away and plan to do right away. Diversifying our faculty, we can begin right away. It'll take time to substantively diversify, but we can show we're serious by just doing it right away. And that means doing deeper searches for every single job that opens up.
Journalists of color these days are calling out their media organizations. You know, as you mentioned earlier, this kind of moment that's happened, right? It's everybody's taking an inward look, reevaluating their policies, rethinking their diversity numbers, the numbers of people of color on their staffs, journalists calling out their organizations, right, from the New York Times to BuzzFeed to public radio stations. When you look at all of this that's happening, how do these kind of times inform what your job is today?
I think that they create the mandate to make these changes now, and they make diversifying the faculty and student body, supporting the student body, supporting Black students, supporting students of color. They make all of this, they've created the momentum to require we raise our game and that we change. And that is extremely helpful when you're trying to lead an organization to change. It basically leaves no question that we have to do it. This is a truly historic moment, and it makes responding to it my top priority.
A lot of us, I think, in journalism, who've been to these conferences year after year after year for many, many years, there's always, you know, the diversity panel, the diversity conversation. It feels like it's a conversation that we've been having for so long. But a lot of people are optimistic about this moment. Why are you optimistic this time that this will mean real change?
I guess because I'm a student of history. So we've been pushing for changes like this for 30 years. I've also seen changes happen. Like as a college student, we were protesting against apartheid. Taking over the president's office, building a shanty town on the green. And several years later, the college actually divested from companies doing business in South Africa. So I've participated in protests and I've seen change results. So I have great faith in the ability of activism to press organizations to change substantively. Great faith in just the power of social dynamics to bring about institutional change. Will everything get solved? No. Will it all get solved immediately? No. But it will lead us to be able to make changes that would have taken decades in any other time. So I'm optimistic for that reason.